What's up, everyone? It's Gavin or Tweak.
What's good? What's good? It's Marcus or Pink.
What up? What up? It's Charles or Chuck.
And what's going on? You got Matt or Has. Another week, another episode of Tweak Talks coming at you. I'd be lying if I said it was a slow news week in the world of Smash. Obviously, a lot to keep up with. A great Japanese tournament had happened this weekend. Some of the maybe the best stakes sequence we've seen in the history of Ultimate. From Hurt, my boy. Shout outs to him. We watched a lot of that tournament, myself, Charles, and Gavin.
Yeah.
I tapped out early, but you guys watched all of it. Yeah. We watched a lot of it. It was good. But yeah, I mean, we got a couple things to talk about. This is specifically one thing, I think, to talk about this week that's going to be the main topic. And it's that someone has come back to competing, and it's Marcus at his locals. We talked about it last week. Marcus, how's the Marth?
True. Still going pretty well. I played Marth Snake for the first time recently.
Ooh. Bro messaged me and I was like, I feel you, bro.
Yeah, it's brutal. It's
brutal. I hate that guy.
Yeah, it's brutal. Ignaz always used to switch and go Lucina, and I was like, why? Like, I understood why, but I was like, there has to be like something that's missing. I don't know if there's something that's missing, bro. I don't know.
That's the worst feeling in the world, right? Like, you play it for like 3 hours and you're just like, I got nothing.
It was just one set, but I was still just sitting there playing the set out like, how, if I have to hit him, how do I hit him?
Nope.
You have to hit him. That so has to happen.
At some point I have to hit him. So how do I hit him?
With a very specific hitbox.
Let me know.
Yeah.
If you figure it out.
I
feel like with Marth, you just got to get the 40% cheese.
That's the thing. Like, other characters go, how do I finish the edge guard? How do I juggle? Like, with Snake, it's like, how do you get a hit? Like, we're not even at the starting point. It's like Steve type stuff where it's like, we're not worrying about how to hit Steve. We're worrying about how to break the wall first. Like,
it's actually funny you say that, because I was thinking a lot about Snake after that tournament. And do you think, is he in the same, because obviously, like, it's like in like a hypothetical tier list, it's like Steve and Sonic, and then like, yes, maybe the right, yes, he's with them, right? Like, he's in there.
He's,
well,
an acquaintance.
Yeah.
Well, that's my question.
Yeah.
Like, is he, because that's like S plus or whatever.
He hangs out with them. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I just know he's cheating. Yeah. He's cheating. Yeah.
He gets invited to the hangout on the weekends. Yeah.
Snake spawns two items, and then there's other characters that spawn white item and it's broken, and then the two items he's spawning is really strong. So I mean, just by I think the only thing that holds Snake back
from, he only has two grenades because he skipped Smash 4. That's my theory.
Yeah, they just didn't want to code it in. But I feel like the only thing that prevents Snake from being easy top five material is Game and Watch gatekeeps the character. But even then, I feel like it's still a doable matchup. It's just
Her is so good at it. I know
he is very good. Yes.
Super giga cheesed, but you know, like, he plays it really well. Like, he has some incredible sequences versus the Game & Watch players. Like, there was this one Battlefield game versus Mia that was just like beautiful, like not too long ago. Yeah, somehow we just always talk about Snake. Well, I guess Hurt literally won. That's why we're talking about it, but yeah.
It's just so crazy because when you strip the grenades away, because the grenades are obviously a really big part of the gameplay, and even before you get to neutral with Snake, you have to get through the grenades, kind of like not one-to-one as like Steve Wall, but it's kind of similar to that, right? And then you get through the grenades,
extra
and then
steps,
it,
yeah.
Right. You have to take these extra steps. There's extra options because of the B reverse landings, and then like grenade into the spot dodge into like, oh, did you try to grab me? I'm going to up tilt you in the face. But even when you strip away the grenades, the character can still just beat you up. The character still has ridiculously good moves. So even in a matchup crappy where it's like, oh, wow, against Game & Watch, you can't use your projectiles as much, you can still just
beat his ass. You got to really like analyze the player you're up against. It's like, what triggers them to think it's time to scrap? Like, you really have to know what type of visual cues, what type of baits, like if I enter certain spaces, like, what convinces them that it's time to like abandon ship, and like how, like, you have to figure out like when and how they're doing that and like capitalizing when it happens. Because like most characters can't string like a long advantage day versus Snake. Like usually it's like you're in and you're out, because if he holds his resources double jump really well, then like he kind of just gets out of there. Like some characters can kind of keep him in a rough spot, but it's very rare. And like sometimes you can catch a double jump, and if, when you catch a in some spots when you catch Snake's double jump, like it's party time. Like like, and mostly because like your next hit's just gonna spike him and kill him usually. Like if I like throw Snake off stage as Diddy Kong and like I hit a double jump, I'm like, oh okay, like this is like my one chance to kill him early. Like it like he's not going anywhere, like you're gonna down air the shit out of him. Like, but usually that doesn't happen. Like you usually get in and you just get out. Like it's like you don't want to trade with the grenades. It's like getting Luigi Cyclone times 1,000 sometimes, where it's like you don't want to be there a lot of the time.
And double jump is usually paired with Cypher as well, so it's like because that pairing exists where it's like, okay, I can burn double jump and I automatically fly. Yeah, I just get to go to the top of the screen and I get B reverse mix-ups. You know, maybe set up a couple Nikitas on the way down. Like the amount of time you are airborne.
It's funny that
it just feels like he has wings.
Yeah.
You don't have to talk to me about B reverses. I know all about that game.
Oh, right. Snap. This new true.
Well, my headset died.
Perfect timing.
Yeah.
Oh, what a plug-in. All right. How's your Lucario adventures going?
All right, I'm back. What was everyone laughing about? What's up?
We're just so happy that Lucario's in the game.
Same. Yeah, that makes all of us. That's good. You mean Legends EA, right? True?
Yeah, like we're so glad.
Lucario's on your team, right, Haz?
He is, yeah. I used him. Legends EA was a blast. I don't care what everyone's saying on the internet. It's a very fun game. I am a coach in the PvP scene, just so everyone knows. I know my stuff. I took Gavin's team of losers and brought them to rank A. True?
Yeah, we got to rank A. It was tough.
Well, Gavin refused. He was like, I'm only using shinies, which is red flag right away.
I only have a few. So, like, and they're just random stray shinies, yeah.
Well, also, when I see someone with only shinies in the PvP mode, I specifically target them because I think they're a dummy.
That's fair. You know? I definitely am targetable. Like, I'm just like the nerd with a million shinies. Like, everyone's like, all right, go.
Yeah, bro's not a battle
guy.
Yeah. You're like a guy with like a $800 fob that doesn't know, you know what I mean? Who like, can't do. Yeah, it's like, okay. You're like the target. Or it's like, what's the arcade stick? That's the Vitrix. Like they look really cool, but like you're scrub if you use them.
This crazy setup. Mario.
Yeah.
Like no Kazuya, nothing. Just
nope. Lucario. Yeah. So we got okay. Marcus got derailed by Snake. So I'm glad you're doing well, Marcus. Chuck, yeah. What's going on, man? Talk to me. We're back at it.
Just been bit really busy with work. I've been able to play a decent amount of ZA, so I've been enjoying the game so far. I'm not completely done with the story. I just want to get to the point where I can do the PvP battles. They look really fun. Watching Gavin play in the PvP battles is interesting because since there are four total Pokemon in play, it's like sometimes one Pokemon can force you to switch. Sometimes it's just like, oh, wow, I can get like... And the fact that there's AoE moves too, right? So I think there's enough that make it different. And one of my big things when dealing with the combat of the game was when you're going through the story mode and you're just doing 1v1 battles, it doesn't really feel like you can dodge moves too well. But when you're doing like the mega battles or the PvP, it looks like you can influence in terms of just dodging moves and just running away and stuff like that. So it definitely feels different. So I've been enjoying the game. I'm not like super big on graphics. Like I play WoW Classic and stuff like that. So I'm not super crazy about the graphics having to be whatever. And I know that's a big discourse on the internet, but I mean, at the end of the day, I'm enjoying the game and I'm having fun and my friends are having fun with it. So it's been a good time.
I think it'll fill the Pokemon Unite void. Like that type of, not that like Pokemon Unite isn't an option, but I think it scratches like that Pokemon itch. Like something to do in a Discord call with friends, like Pokemon Unite, Legends EA multiplayer. Like it's like better than usual for that type of thing. Like it's definitely a really fun option to play.
I was not expecting a PvP mode. That surprised me. So that
has a lot of potential, and I think it shows the future of the series for sure.
I will say the first Legends game is like the setting was more interesting.
I was talking about that for months in my Twitch.
The setting just feels more interesting, different. But I mean, this is not too bad.
I was just like, bro, no way Legends EA clears Arceus like in terms of atmosphere and vibes. Like,
no way.
Yeah, dude. Not one city. Yeah.
And I think that's fine. I think we were all kind of prepared. It's a whole different thing. It's just such a different. And I think having the online multiplayer just really cements like, this is just like a glimpse into like a potential. The Champions Battle Simulator is like such a crazy tipping point because they're just going to start branching off even in the mainline series now, because it's like competitive is like now just like one central thing in Champions. So like, I feel like we're going to see a lot of new stuff from them. And I think it'll be like more frequent and like, instead of like gradual, it'll be like just like bam, like right in front of your face, just because they can now. Like, they're not limited by like competitive battles or anything. But
yeah, and the other thing with ZA too is like it is split between the Switch 1 and Switch 2, so it's not fully a Switch 2 game.
I'm so excited to get out of that.
Totally, phase. I know, me too.
So we can actually start. That's like the weird feeling, you know what I mean? Like, I want to start the Switch 2 stuff.
Like, it's almost like a Switch 2 beta that we're in.
Yeah.
It's like basically Switch 1 games that are just a lot better.
Most of the time, it's Switch 1 games on the Switch 2, so.
That are better, yeah. But and the thing I'll say about ZA is, like, it's far from a perfect game. It's very flawed in a lot of ways. But, bro, it's really fun, is what I'll say. And I think people went into it with these super high expectation stuff. I get it. It's like, man, I don't know. The fact that we knew it was taking place in one city, like, you had to have known that coming into it. I never felt like it was small, though. You know, and I'm like, wow, I wish I could do more, but I can't. But I'm not like, this feels cramped or something. But yeah, I think it's just a fun time. Like, that's what I'd say about it. Like, I'm not, you know, it's not like the best game I ever played, but I think it's good. I'm jamming out to it still. So, yeah.
I wonder if part of it, I don't have the game because I don't have a Switch 2. And I wasn't buying it on the Switch 1. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's fair.
But I do wonder if it's part of like the nostalgia and the love of Megas and like that generation, coupled with how well-received Legends Arceus was. Like, those two combined, it probably lent for like extremely high expectations for the game, even though it's not like a mainline game. And I just think that no matter what, like, this probably could have been one of the best Pokemon games ever. I don't think it was going to live up to the expectations of that generation plus the second version of, like, a Legends game.
Yeah, dude, and these games are just under such a microscope. Like, people are just waiting to, you know, get their tweets off about how much they hated it and how shitty the graphics are. And, like, ooh, look at this one glitch that I found, you know, like... People, I don't know why that's such a thing with Pokemon. I think it's like some sort of, this thing was such an important part of everyone's childhood. And now it's like, you know, we're like, I don't know, 20, 30 years later, right? Whatever. So like, so much has changed, including people and where they are in life. I don't know, man. And don't get me wrong. I think you should be critical of games, and I think they deserve feedback. And I, like I said, I think the game is very flawed in a lot of ways. But some people are acting like it's an unplayable product.
And I'm
like,
I mean, the conversations on the internet have so little substance to them, too. Like, they're not going anywhere, and it's just like...
Yeah, they're so polarized. And I get not liking it, and that's totally fine.
I could even be agreeing with what they're saying, and I still just hate the way...
Yeah.
...happening, like...
Totally. Yeah, and I agree, Marcus. And some people are like, oh, these mega suck. I'm like, do you not remember the original... role of Megas that came out? A lot of them fucking sucked. Like, they were terrible. And that's just kind of what Megas are. Some of them are awesome and great and really cool, and some of them are bad. Like, it's just like anything else. Like whatever, man.
I did a whole spreadsheet with Max, and we decided it was 60% bad, 40% good.
Yo.
It was literally a 60-40 ratio. We went through every single one. It was like a group of like four or five of us, and we all like decided like, do we like this one? And we were just like, yeah, like, most of them aren't very good.
Yeah.
I like the new ones overall, though.
Me too. And it's like they kind of just get bigger and like get spikes, maybe. Like, that's, you know what I mean? Like, that's like 80% of them, which is not good. And it's, dude, and there's nothing worse than one of your favorite Pokemon getting a Mega or something and you don't like the next form. It's just a heartbreaker because you know they're not getting shit for like the next four decades. Like, that's it.
Yeah, it's over.
So it's tough.
Your one chance.
Yeah.
It's really nerve-wracking. When you're like waiting to see what it looks like.
Do you think people are punching the air at this point that we haven't talked about you coming back to competing in Smash and we've been talking about Legends ZA and Hurt and Snake?
We need more watch time. Chill. We need more watch time. We'll get to that. Don't worry.
Imagine they actually.
Oh, you got to leave a comment. Yeah.
Oh, there'll probably be a comment. Skip to.
I'd be so sad.
Why'd you say that? Now there definitely will be.
I'd be so sad if someone thought I was actually like exploiting the system and we're just kind of yapping. Like,
I know, but if I was a listener, I'd be like, shit, can you guys fucking talk about it, please? Yeah. Like, you're talking about Mega Pokemon? Are you serious? So pretty big news, Gav, and I'm very excited for you. You're going to Port Priority, which is a fantastic tournament, by the way. Probably one of the biggest tournaments I've been looking forward to since the summer or whatever. Like, they have a stacked roster, which now includes you, which is very interesting. And I have so many questions about, you know, where you're at and what this means and all that good stuff. And I was thinking about it a lot today. And I think like the number one thing I want to ask you is, you know, you're coming back and you're competing at Port. I think, you know, as a competitor and as a person, you've grown a lot and you've changed a lot over your time in Smash. What is going to be different, you know, for you kind of this time coming back before we get into the why or the how? Like, what for you is, like, how are you going to approach things differently? And what did you like about what you were doing previously that you're going to keep?
Yeah, that's really difficult. 'Cause I think over time, when the time is right, I think there'll be more explanations as to how like the last like year or two have gone and like why they went the way they did and like why I made some of the decisions I made. I fully intended on stopping. Like, I promise this wasn't like a, I don't know, like I quit, come back the next day. I fully intended on stopping, and I kind of got, I don't know how to say this, but like, I think things will make sense. I promise things will make sense eventually. I'm really glad to be back, and I never necessarily like wanted to stop. So I'm really looking forward to it. And I think over time things will make sense. And I'm sorry to be cryptic, but yeah, I don't know exactly how to word what I'll do differently. I have been practicing a lot. I've been trying new things, taking a lot of notes. I've always been really, really strict with how I treat Smash and the things I do around Smash to get better. And I basically never stopped. It's weird because it's just what I do. It's who I am. Whether I was going to a tournament or not, I fully planned on like labbing stuff, playing every day, like trying new things. Like, I was still doing all my like routine things, like working out and meditating and like all this stuff I've been doing because of Smash. Like, I just never stopped. So I don't know. It's kind of a hard question to answer. I'm really looking forward to Port Priority. I think the main thing I would say that would be different is I think I'm going to be pretty set in stone with my strategy. I don't think I'm going to flip-flop as much, but I also don't want to jinx it and like go to Port Priority and pull out Sephiroth randomly. But like, I a lot of the time I don't intend on necessarily doing things, and then I show up and like, I usually just answer what my heart tells me. So I think that's the main thing, though, is I'm pretty set in like preparing and like sticking with what I believe in and stuff like that. But yeah, I actually intended on coming back a little sooner. I wanted to go to Miami, but I could not. But I do really like Port Priority. It's been fantastic the few times I've went. I just feel like it's ran really professionally and it's always really nice. So I think it's a perfect tournament to come back to. But yeah, honestly, I don't know what else to say. I guess I'm still getting used to it myself, because it wasn't the longest break by any means, but it was definitely the longest break I've ever had. So,
yeah, sorry, I kind of came in hot with a big question off the rip. I should have let you explain yourself first. No, that's great, Gab. And I guess like the easiest thing is like, how are you feeling, you know, coming back and all this? I know, obviously, I even saw joke tweets that were like, bro's been practicing more than top players anyway. Like, he might as well just come, might as well just go to a tournament, right? So, like you said, I love what you said, where it's like, it's still such a part of you.
Yeah.
And I love that. I love when Smash translates to, like, you know, real world consistencies or things that you've learned and translates well. I love hearing that. And I love that you stuck with it. So, I guess, yeah, I'd bring it back to my question. Like, how are you feeling about coming back and competing? I mean, that's going to be a change, obviously. You know, you've taken – when's the last time you went to a tournament, I guess? How long has it been? Do you know exactly or no?
I'm not exactly sure when Kulon was. That was my last event. So it's October 21st as we're recording this. And it was in May, I think. So yeah, it's been a bit, and Port Priority will be at the beginning of November. What, like I said, it's October 21st as we're recording this. I'm feeling really good, honestly. I feel really comfortable. I think my biggest goal with taking time off, regardless of how long or short it was to feel like, when I came back, for whatever reason that was, whether it's Ultimate or a new game or anything, that it felt like intentional and like ready and prepared. And like, I don't like feeling like scattered or chaotic or anything. I always associate a lot of my lifestyle, like when things going well, I always think of the word quiet. Like when I'm playing well, it feels like everything is quiet and like soft. Like I think of those types of words when I think of things going well. And I feel like I would say for the most part, things feel like that right now going into competing again. It doesn't feel like I'm rushing to get to an event or like, am I going to be able to do this? Am I going to be able to do that? Like, can I afford to do this or that? Like, I want to be able to play. And that's always been, I think all of you know that, like, my biggest thing is like, if I can just put most of my focus on playing, like, I'm pretty low maintenance. Like, if I can just like comfortably feel like there isn't some sort of issue stopping me from doing my thing, then like, thumbs up. Like, that's all I need. Like, as long as I feel comfortable and like I know I can get to the events I need to go to, then that's all I need. It's truly all I need.
And I feel like early Ultimate, a lot of players had the opportunity to do that because the game was a lot bigger. There was more sponsors involved, right? Yeah. So a lot of these bigger esports teams were getting involved. So I think now that we're later into the lifespan of the game, we have to go through quarantine and all this other stuff. I think that's just something that's harder and harder for players to achieve, right? And obviously All the things going on with Luminosity is also, you know, a case study of just how the game is performing in terms of later on in its life cycle. We've always had to deal with this. If you've been a part of the Brawl slash, I mean, even, you know, back in Melee, but just the current Smash game community, we've always had to deal with that. And even in a game with patches in Smash 4, we did have patches and support, and then it eventually stops for the next game, right? Yeah. So hopefully we're entering that cycle again. And hopefully
there's so many like breakdown, rebuild, breakdown, rebuild. Yes. Like the Smash community like has known that forever. So
So,
you got any goals? Because a lot of times when people play, like, they usually have like a goal. Like, some people in their local, they want to be on their local PR,
yeah,
or they want to be this rank or whatever. But like, it's kind of late, and you've been doing this for a long time, and you're kind of just coming back. So like,
yeah,
have you even thought about that? Like, setting any goals for yourself with your return? Or are you just like, yeah, I'm back, I'm just gonna play?
I don't have a new goal, but it is the same as always. And sometimes I feel like my goal in its like truest form is like hard to put into words. Like, it's just like, I don't know. My goals are really, I would call them intense. Like it feels like it's more than like winning or being the best. Like it is like so like I want to win my way. I want to win without getting hit by a jab. Like I like it's like so like psycho. like this I just is... it's always like my goal is like I've talked about this on stream with people too when I'm like trying to like coach people or like motivate people. It's like they always say things like, oh, I want to reach this level or I want to do this. And it's just like, bro, like, how about we throw that entire process out of the trash, like into the trash, and you just tell yourself that you're already there. Why not? Why not? You're the best already.
Huh?
What's the difference? Like, I think there's so much of a waste of time of thinking like you have to get somewhere when it's all like made up anyway. Like, since I started playing this game as a teenager, like in tournaments, I was like, bro, I was going 0-2 and I was like, bro, I should have got first. Like, I think the whole process is a waste of time. Like, why not? Like, you should think highly of yourself already. Like, don't view it as like, oh, I need to get from low to mid to high.
It's not as simple as point A to point B, I think is what you're saying, right?
No, like just view yourself as like you're already like I don't know how to explain.
Yeah, the wording is a little, are you trying to say like you should already have the confidence in yourself to become the best? So if you have that belief in yourself, then you should just
you don't have to become a different person or change. Like you're already you. Like you're already fully capable of doing whatever you want to do. Like, I don't know. That's how I feel. Like when I was younger, like maybe I'm just like fueled by like delusion or something, but like when I was younger, I was just like, bro, I'm the best player in the world right now. Like, it's not like my goal was to like, like be the best or like win a tournament. It's like, no, like I just have to show it rather than like get to it. It's like, I just have to show it to everyone else. Like, I already know, but like, I need to make as many people know. Like, that's always been my thing. And it feels like mentally, it like skips a lot of unnecessary steps.
Yeah, it's like a perspective change where you're not playing to prove yourself to other people. It's just to yourself is what you're saying or something like that.
Like,
damn it.
Like when I'm playing in a tournament, it's like, I already know I'm going to win. Like it's like, it's not like, oh, I need to get seventh and then fifth and then like no, like there's no process. Like it's just like, for me, it's just like you put in the work and all this, like I don't care about high level, mid level, or you need to play this character to achieve this. It's like, bro, like just go out there and be the best in the world. Like, just do it. Like, I don't know. That's how I feel about shit.
Wait. Skipping the process of building confidence, I think, is what you're kind of locking in on, right? Like,
I just feel like
you don't need results to like boost your confidence. Like, oh, I'm improving. That boosts my confidence. I went 2-2 this week instead of 0-2. I see the result. I get confidence. Okay,
I've
cool.
Never
now my next
gone
goal
through
is
that.
This.
I skipped all that entirely.
Wait,
it's not necessary.
But if you know you're the best in the world, and I know I'm the best in the world,
well, you know what I think. Mm-hmm.
That's what tournaments are all about.
Yeah. An X factor.
I feel like a lot of Smash players could use this advice. And I mean, obviously you don't have to take it at full value, but just in terms of just confidence, because I think a lot of Smash players can relate in terms of like, oh, even if you played previous Smash games before where you're like, oh man, in front, obviously friendlies and tournament are very different, but I've seen players that are just so strong. And like, I've played them in friendlies or I watch them play friendlies against other top players and stuff like that. And I see how good they are. And then in tournament, it's like completely a different story. And I mean, we've seen people choke and just mess up on stage in tournament. Right. And I think the way Gavin's viewpoint is you can kind of cut the fluff and have that happen less. Obviously he's not immune to that, but like that I think is whether it's true or not, I think the point is it doesn't matter.
Because right? In my head, like it just went from like I just went from like being a random kid that showed up to tournaments to just like poof. Like it like I would like I was just so convinced that, like, not only do I want to do this, like, I want to do it today, not like 10 years from now, or like, I want to do it now, like next tournament, this tournament, like, and it really helps me a lot because, you know, I've had conversations like, oh, when I'm up against like my local PR player, like I get so nervous and I mess up. And like, I try to talk about this type of stuff when I get asked that type of question, when it's like, what can we do to like cut all of that out? Cause it's not necessary. It's not helping you. You know what I mean? Like, we don't need these labels of like levels of players or like PRs or rankings, where it's like you don't have to gradually get past them. Like, why don't we just get past them right now? You know what I mean? Like, that, why not? Is that not an option? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like a lot of people like create a lot of technicalities to like justify things and like figure out like the right or wrong way to go about like the process, but like a lot of it is those technicalities and labels, I think, are just made up as like a coping mechanism or something. Like, I don't think any of it is needed. And like, but maybe this, I truly think am like fueled by this, like I think delusion is like such a fantastic thing. Like, it is just so good. Like maybe I actually suck at this, but I'm just so delusional that I've gotten so far just from pure, like, because if I'm just convinced I'm the best player in the world, like, it's going to do something. Like, it's going to do something, bro. Like, because I've lost a lot and I've made a lot of mistakes and all that. But like, no one's ever asked me that type of question, like, personally and privately. And I've never given an answer other than myself. Ever. Like, it is what it is.
So yeah, let me just piggyback on what Has said. What if they suck?
Huh?
Like, what if you suck? Like, you, like, how are you just gonna be like, bro, I'm the best? Like, I suck.
Well, it's not like you go around doing it. Like, you don't like walk up to every person you see and it's like, I'm better than you, like, I'm the best. It's like, it's not that. I feel like I've never talked about this out loud, so it's kind of hard when people are asking questions, but
don't worry about it. You got it. You're the best at explaining things.
I mean, I think there's things that back up the thought process. Like, you're not just going to think to yourself, I'm the best, and then like, don't play the game and don't.
Oh yeah.
Like obviously there's practice. There's not like reinforced.
Wait, why? I'm already the best. This will not work on me. I'm going to tell you right now. If you tell me I'm the best, I'm like, sweet, I'm taking a nap.
No. It doesn't, like, I'm not here. You're supposed to tell it to yourself.
Yeah, that's the result is the problem. I'm the best, and I know it. Who cares if I'm proving it?
I don't know how to explain it, but it's not like a boosting your ego type of thing and, like, walking around, like, with your big, like, I'm the best muscles. Like, it's not that. Like, it's, I don't know how to explain it. It's like, it's like the reason you get up and do it. You know what I mean? Like, when you're not, when you don't feel like practicing, or you're like not motivated, like, it's like what keeps you going. Like,
the urge to prove something that you genuinely believe, I think is the main driving force here.
And yeah. Like,
I mean, even like, I have an example of Void in 2015 when we traveled out to Apex. We're in a hotel room and Void's grinding and no one knows who Void is, right?
Yeah.
And someone asked him, they're like, dang, you're really good. Yeah, we're in a hotel room and they're like, damn, you're really good. What place do you think you're going to get at Apex? Because this was Void's first out-of-state tournament, right? And he's just a kid from Hawaii that's like doing perfect pivot combos with Sheik. And Void says, I think I'm getting...
Hawaiian guy.
Yeah, and Void says...
The Sheik Hawaiian guy. Like, who is this?
Yeah. Void says, I think I'm going to get top 3 at this tournament. Everyone in the hotel laughed at him. But he genuinely believed that. Yeah. And, like,
you remember?
He got 33rd. He SD'd versus
He just did it twice. That's pretty good.
He stacked them up on top of each other. But I think that...
33rd is really good at that tournament, by the way. Like, for the record.
Yes, it was a very... I mean, for your first out-of-state tournament, getting 33rd is
who did he lose to? Do you remember? Of course
he SD'd against... Yeah, I watched. Yeah, he SD'd against Fo with a grenade offstage.
Who was, like, a top what player? Fo was, like, what? Top...
I mean, at least top 10.
Not that it matters.
At the time. Yeah. But, yeah. Like, Fo was very good.
I think I got 65th.
Yeah. Oh, dang, sheesh. Bowser Jr., huh?
Did I enter that event? Oh gosh.
We were all at that event, I think. I'm pretty sure.
I remember watching
Void. Dude, I don't think I even saw Haz.
You didn't know who I was. How would you even know?
Yeah, I think we're all at that
event. I just don't have like any like mental, like I don't remember seeing your face or anything.
I was there. Trust me.
But that type of energy of saying I'm going to get top three, like just it reminds me of what Gavin's talking about right
now. Yeah.
And I think that, I mean, you can word it however, but I think at the end of the day, ego is a very complex thing to talk about, and it can help you and it can also destroy you. So it's, you need to find like a really good balance. And I think everyone's different. So the way you use your own ego is very pivotal, and there's no book that just says like, oh, this is how you use your ego. Like everyone's different. It's a very complex subject. Right. So like,
I think the point to you is, I think there is always some level of delusion involved when you say you're going to be the best at something. You know what I mean? Like at least a little bit. Like even you hear a little kid come up to you and say, you know, I want to be a professional baseball player, or I want to be an NBA player when I grow up. In your head, you're like, yeah, fucking right. But that professional NBA players and baseball players, or maybe I'm just an asshole, but you know, the odds are really low. But NBA players and NFL players and everybody, they've all thought that and said that as kids too. And eventually, like, that did work out for them.
Like, you really, for them, like, yeah, a lot of those stories. Yeah.
Right. And you really need to live and breathe it, I think, is your point. You know, it's not joking aside. I think that's the main takeaway is you need to, I think it helps too. Like, when you lose, like, that sucks. And I think that can help it. It's like, dude, I still know I'm the best. I just, whatever. Like, that, I think that helps in that way too. Like, I'm the best. I just failed at proving it today.
Yeah.
Or something. Right.
Yeah. It's not like it's all about like going around like, everyone else sucks, or like it's just not that. Like, but if you like break it down to the truth and the core, like that is just like, I feel like I'm the best. Like, and I feel like you can say that for a lot of people. They might go about it in a different way or something, but it's like, I'm not gonna sugarcoat it or anything. Like, it's helped me for the entirety of my life, and I don't know. It's a difficult conversation because I think so many people will misunderstand it or twist it in a weird way or think you're doing something right or wrong, and it gets really weird. But
I think, two things. You got 49th at Apex 2015.
Yo, let's go.
I only know because I was looking for me, and you were right there, and I was like, wait, what the heck?
You guys were holding hands.
Hey, who are you playing, Marcus, at that point?
Peach.
Forgot about the Peach era.
Oh, and this is Smash 4, by the way.
Yeah.
This tournament was crazy for a lot. It was just crazy.
I had a conversation one day when I was talking to Light. I can't remember what tournament it was, but it was maybe like a Smash Con. It was a Smash Con.
Yeah.
Because he wanted me to drive him back to his hotel, and I had my car, so I was like, it had to be like Smash Con or Glitch or something. Anyway, I was talking to him, and he said, you know, honestly, you are, and this is not to toot my own horn in any sort of way, you're probably good enough to play with us, like be with us, like the top players, but you just don't believe in yourself enough. And he was like, if you ask any top player who the best player in the room is, they're all going to say me. Like, anyone who's in that top 10, top 20 realm, if you walk up to them and say, who you think is going to win today, or who's the best player in the room right now, they'll all say me. Even if it's, like, not true, like, ranking-wise or anything like that, it's just the way they carry themselves. Like, I'm the best, and there's nothing you can do about it, and I might lose this event.
Bro, I can sit down with someone, and they can beat me 1,000 fucking times in a row. Like, I will not think any differently. I just won't.
I think Paris is such a great example of that too. Like, the way he carries himself, he's the way he acts.
Perfect,
like,
example.
Like, he really is. Well, and it's neat to hear that. Like, I think if someone had taken the statement you said, Gavin, about like, I don't care if I lose 1,000 times, I'm still the best player in the world or whatever. Yeah. And it's like, guess who said this? I don't think many people would have said you. You know what I mean? Like, they would have said a lot of other people, especially Paris, I think would certainly be on that list. a lot. which is great, but it's cool to know that the same like inner drive or like psyche is there for people where it comes out in different ways. You know, like everyone would again attribute that to Paris, but for you, it's a little surprising or a little different, or maybe people don't associate you with that type of thought process or as Charles was saying, like ego kind of protecty, whatever you want to.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not.
Ego is something that's always interesting and like worth putting a lot of study into. I mean, you can really mold it, I think.
Because it pairs with confidence, right? I don't think you necessarily need to have an ego for confidence, but I think ego can boost your confidence, right? So it's like ego is such a blanket term, but it definitely helps a lot of players, but it also can not
like
help.
That lingering feeling, like I said, is like kind of what makes me get up and like put the practice in or do the workout or do whatever like thing that is like boring. Like it that lingering thought is just like what keeps me going. Like, cause so many people like will look at it like, bro, this could even happen. Like I could be going to a tournament. My projected bracket could be 10 Steves, a Samus and a Duck Hunt, or like, you know what I mean? Like
how,
like, you can just ask me what place I'm getting. Like it's going to be the same as if like I was playing against 10 Ikes. Like
damn, poor Ike, dude. What the heck?
That's just a character that came to mind for like,
no, it was set for a reason for sure.
Some character I'm going to farm. Like,
didn't say Lucario, by the way.
Could have said Falcon.
No, Lucario would be in the Steve.
Yes, he would.
Yep. GG's, bro. GG's.
But the craziest upset, the best Ike player from Japan defeats Tweak in bracket.
Yeah, fuck. I'm screwed.
you said
actually,
no.
I'm standing on it.
No, Ike was like a great
not
choice.
Not again.
It's like Kirby. It's like
Kirby all over.
Yeah. No, Ike was a great Kirby. I'm standing on it.
Ike was a great choice because there aren't like any Ikes really. Like maybe one.
There's very few, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a good choice.
I like that character, by the way. He's fun.
Of course, yeah, he's great.
But yeah, like it could be against 10 players I've never beaten. Like there's probably plenty of players that I will continue to play that I've literally never beaten, like I don't know, like Aquil or something. And it's like, yeah, I'll win 3-0.
Like, I think Mars also has a very similar outlook, and I just think he's a lot more mean about it. Like
he just wants
to show you how bad at the game you are.
I love Mars.
Validates how much better he is at the game than you.
Yeah, I think that's, you're right though, Charles. Because again, through all four of the examples we have, it's the same engine that drives them, right? Like the prove to be the best, and like the way it manifests and like,
yes,
you know, shows itself is very different between the four of them.
Like me and Paris are very different people, but like I feel like there's a reason where we're so close together. At every tournament, like we're always playing with each other, because like you said, like it stems from the same thing, and we're definitely like clashing a lot. So you know,
yeah, I mean, dude, there's so many examples. Like Leo always used to be, you forgot who's the best. Like at one point, you know, he was. Spargo was always saying he was the best. He just hasn't been ranked first yet. Sonic says he's the best. He gets second all the time, and he still loads in, hey, I'm the best.
It's not like a bonus.
It's not like
special thing. Yeah. I think it's an expectation. I think it's a requirement. Like, I think it's part of the thing. Like, it's not like, that's why like a lot of these questions I get, I'm like, bro, like we can just cut all of this out. Like just all these questions you're asking about like these technicalities and labels, it's like, just throw it in the shredder, bro. Like,
I mean, Akola runs up to people and just nines them. You can't tell me he's not thinking that when he does that. Like, it's like I can't even fathom the level of competition he's thinking of when he can just be like, yeah, I'm just going to run up a nine. And like, this will be a nine. I will win the game off. Like, you got to have some next level. Just like thinking you're the best or you're fated to win this tournament to make moves like that. Cause I could never,
delusion
I couldn't even
think
cool, about
it, bro. That. Delusion is truly like a fantastic like source. Like it's just, or like weapon. Like it's great.
Dude, even thinking about it,
a lot of great moments from Smash. From it.
Yeah, and I was gonna say even some upsets that from people who aren't huge top players, but beat really, really, really good players. They had to have had that level. Yo, I could take a set off MKLeo. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I'm pretty sure I could do this shit. You know, like, yep. Like in year one ultimate, it's like, I could. And that's like, I think the magic of a new Smash game too is everyone has that level of delusion until reality really sets in. It's like, damn, I really could be the best whatever main. I could be the best period. Hey, I was really good in Smash 4. I'm a great melee player, whatever.
See you.
Oh, snap.
I think so. I think that's part of the fun of the whole thing.
Could you say what you said again?
Yeah, you kind
of did I disconnect? My fault.
At the end.
I was just saying, yeah, like that level of delusion coming into a new Smash game is super fun. Like that's the part of what makes it so fun. It's like, dude, I could beat somebody in this game, you know? Yeah. And again, that's how smaller upsets happen too. Is like, you know, if you look at it on paper, it's like, how many times is this player ever going to beat Light? Well, for those 2 weeks, all I did was study how to beat Fox and all his habits and do all this stuff, and I worked my ass off. And I really think I could do it. And then, you know,
like we're not looking at the seeding or like who's supposed to beat who or like,
yeah,
like bro, like
it doesn't matter.
I don't know. It doesn't.
It is a very double down strategy though, because if you truly believe that and it doesn't happen, it does hurt a lot.
That might even be like the best part,
but that's part of the process. Yeah. Like, I think that's what like can keep people coming back. But
bro, I literally have the most fucked up losses like ever.
Yeah, I don't think much people can top you on that category.
Bro, I think
in that category,
that's half true. I think not the losses part. I think it makes or breaks people. Like absolutely. I thought for sure.
And breaking is fine. I broke.
I know I broke
1 million times. Marth.
No. Like in Smash 4, Evo, Kaitar Saga, and then Big House. Evo, I thought, even though Bayonetta just got nerfed, for some reason I was like, I'm still gonna win this tournament. I never won a tournament in my life, but I was like, yeah, I'm winning this tournament. Yeah. And then I lost to the Buzz, I think it was, and winners, and I was like super disheartened, whatever. Went to Kaitar Saga, won Kaitar Saga. I'm like, bro, I'm the GOAT. Like, I knew I was the GOAT. Now I'm about to go win Big House. Like, that's what I was thinking the whole time. I was like, bro, nobody can beat me at Big House. And I SD'd game 3 of my first round pools, and I cried for like 2 hours straight just in Big House when I was playing my sets. Like, I played like 3 sets after that, and I was crying the whole time because I was just like, bro, I can't win this event anymore.
Yeah.
I don't even know if that was true, but like, that's where my brain instantly went, because I was like, ain't no way I'm making this run. And literally from that day, I always tell people this if they ask, like, partially, like, what happened to your confidence. That tournament broke me, because I was so sure,
wow,
like, that I was going to be, like, one of the best players ever. But it, like, hurt so much that I just couldn't recover.
Yeah.
I think
I never knew that.
I think that a lot of players have the moment that broke them. So, I mean, I definitely have one, but I don't want to talk about it. But you know what's crazy? I'm actually curious which top player broke the most amount of Smash players. Is it the Buzz?
Probably.
Who has broken the most amount of Smash
probably
players? He's been around very long, and the way he plays is,
yes, very breaking behavior.
I'm surprised bro ain't break Gavin, like, just fully.
I'll give it up to Gavin, man. Gavin has not broken. And in terms of, like, fucked up losses,
lie.
Well, I mean,
there's still
broke for 5 months.
Yes, like, you still compete. You still compete.
Actually, no, that wasn't even.
No, that's not what I'm thinking of.
Breaking, but.
But, like,
kind of intent. Like,
you're still competing. You're still
competing. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's kind of the best part, because it's so cringe, because we're talking about, like, Smash Bros, like Mario versus Jigglypuff, but like like I really like to view it as, like, you know, like, you can really feel like when you lose and lose and lose and keep going and keep going, like, you can just see it in your gameplay. You can see it in, like, when you finally, like, do well in an event or win an event or something, like when you're playing against someone and you're both, like, really, really long time players, like, you like, I can feel and see all the intricacies and like why they've changed certain things, why they might not do something anymore, why they do something like, and I just like, I don't know. Like it, like for me, it's like the Evo loss. It was like such a terrible one. And, but there's so many things that people don't know. And there's so many things that people have created from the popularity of the tournament in that set that just aren't reality either. Like what I think about it, or like they are like just putting words in my mouth or saying this or that about Leo or me. And like, and it, like, to me, it's like, bro, I've never even watched it. Like I've won so many tournaments since then, just from just pure delusion of this, like, and at so many people don't even know things about like Evo itself. And like so many, like there's just so many interesting layers to it. And like, I don't know, like it's kind of the best part of just breaking. And then like, just, you just reamp yourself on the delusion drug, like,
you rebuild
for like sure. Yeah. But when you crash, bro, like it is really fucking terrible when it just all hits you at once, like, damn, I'm an idiot type shit, like like what was I thinking, blah blah blah, like what have I been doing with my life, like it's just like, it is a crazy cycle, but is like the most beautiful cycle like a human could have, like it, like truly, like. And I, that's why it's like, dude, even if there's not a tournament coming up, like I'm going to be living that cycle for my whole life. Like I'm constantly like breaking something down and rebuilding it, and just like to the point where it's like not even recognizable. It's awesome, bro. It is truly like the best thing ever. Like,
yeah. And like you said, it's not just Smash. I mean, things that you actually really care about, you, it's, yeah, not like you care about them a little bit. You're like, yeah, I kind of like this thing. It's like, dude, like NBA, you know, Yu-Gi-Oh, like all this. Dude,
when
shit,
I do,
dude,
something,
yeah, you go like, all out, yeah. Shiny, yeah, hunting, all that shit, like everything, yeah, which I do admire. But also, I'm like, damn, this is broken.
I can't imagine like picking something up and being like, all right, I tried it. I don't even know that much about it. See, like, I can't fathom not finishing what you start. Like, it's just, I don't know. Like when I enter a tournament, there's like what, like that GOMO I went to, like the most recent GOMO I went to, someone I've never met in my life came up to me with like a phone or like a camera or like recording me. And they're just like, what place are you going to get first? Like, and I fucking won. Like, and like, I can partially attribute it to like the delusion, like, wasn't seated to get first.
Yeah. I'm sure
plenty of people didn't think I was going to get first. Like, it is what it is.
I think it's also important to note that you are aware and are calling it delusion. So it's not like you know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's a driving force more than
I've never been ranked first. Like,
true.
But it gets to the point where it's like, I think you can find a balance between like respecting everyone and like the resources and like Smash itself, the tournaments, the tournament organizers, the competitors, the people who contribute to rankings, but still like apply everything we're talking about at the same time. Like, yeah, it's not about like going around, like it's mostly internal. Like it comes out a little bit because like, sure. But like, I think there's a balance like anything else. Like, I'm not going to go around and say like, you can be upset about rankings or like think this or that, like that's perfectly fine. Like it's valid, but like, you know, I'm kind of rambling, but.
So this whole time I was thinking about a player that got an upset and it looked like they didn't believe they could do it. And I do have one. Shout out to Latai in Smash 4.
Yes.
Bro did not believe.
Go.
He got the victory. That was such a crazy set.
That is
the best pop-off ever, dude.
One of my best friends I've met through Smash, crazy enough. Yeah. Shouts to Andrew, bro.
I think, you know what another fun thing about this too is, I think in the beginning of a Smash game, this happens and there's way more layers to it. And the reason is because there's so much on the line in terms of figuring out the game. Like, players playing the characters they play, especially in the beginning of a Smash game, whether they like the character or they think the character is strong, you're essentially putting every you're putting your Smash knowledge on the table and also your Smash skills. But it's like, I believe in this character because of X, Y, and Z. Like when Zachary pulled up with Wolf first Genesis, that was crazy because not a lot of people were talking about Wolf back then, yeah. Right? That was so early on into the game. So even just the whole clash of different ideas and different types of play styles and which characters are strong, which characters are weak, even the whole counterpicking war, since everyone is such at a base level of gameplay, that's when counterpicking becomes really strong because it's like, okay, well, we're not playing the ceilings of the characters, we're playing the floors of the character, right? And then some players take the path of like, okay, instead of counterpicking, I'm going to chase the ceiling of this character because I think it's worth it. So even that dynamic and seeing all the different strong players play all these different types of characters, obviously there were other characters that were stronger that we saw multiple of, like something like pre-patch Olimar or like Pichu was another one, right? But like just seeing the meta evolve and also just watching the community learn more and more through the visions of other players and what they're bringing to the table and bringing to the tournament. Because especially early on in the game, you can't look at results and be like, oh, just make a tier list out of it. Like the game is so young. It's so underdiscovered, right?
I hate that stuff so much. I've always been very vocal about like the shallow responses to things. Like,
well, it's like you're looking at the floors of your characters, right?
Like, it's like, well, this character must suck because there's this amount of players using them at this rank. It's like, okay, like I can't talk to you. I can't.
It's like early tier list. Sorry, my internet cut out. Is that what you're talking about?
You cut out, yeah.
But you're talking about like early.
I meant like an early tier list more than anything else because like they're just doing it for the love of the game, bro. Like they're just.
I was gonna say, you better get ready. That next Smash game comes out. We're farming early tier lists in this podcast. Yeah.
We're going to be wrong.
Ready for the slop.
We're going to be wrong.
Nah, we've never been wrong about a character before.
No, we haven't.
True.
Yikes. All right. That was fun. Yeah.
So are you going to use Sephiroth versus Snake?
No.
Unless.
No.
I feel like that's a matchup you got to. Oh, you're just going to stick it out with Diddy Kong?
Yeah.
Okay. Tough.
I have a bunch of notes I've been writing down, especially for a lot of hard stuff. Because honestly, nowadays, most matchups are hard stuff. But, you know. Yeah, it's been fun. I haven't been, like... I've been pretty damn consistent with, like, working on things to some capacity. I usually am. So, yeah, and I also like having a lot of time to prepare for events and stuff, so it'll be nice. I don't know what I'm doing after Port Priority. I should probably look into that. Oh yeah, we talked about this before we went live. I think it's important to also confirm that this isn't like a one last tournament. This, like, I'm actually like playing again, like straight up. It's not like a one final thing. This is just happens to be my first tournament back. And like I said, I did want to come back a little sooner, but poor priority was the soonest I could do. So
another thing, just kind of branching off the topic we were talking about, I think that confidence in yourself is the reason why you'll play through bad matchups. I think that fuels you a lot because it's like, okay, well, this matchup is really bad, but if I'm just that much better than my opponent, I can do it, right? So, and like, you've won notoriously bad Diddy Kong matchups, so... Which is a very different approach from the early Ultimate. I think you've played so many different viewpoints where transitioning to Smash 4, you're more counterpick style where you had like, you know, three top tier characters you would rotate depending on how good your opponent was versus X character. And then, you know, going into Ultimate, you kind of kept that going. And then after quarantine, it was like a full pivot towards mainly solo maining. And then you kind of like sprinkled in Sephiroth here and there. But
yeah.
But I feel like that confidence is what helps you, especially through the tough matchups where you just like, I'm going to deep dive. I'm going to take a bunch of notes. If I play perfect, I can win this matchup.
I've had a really bad habit of seeking out negativity throughout the years of competing too, where I'm always like looking to see if someone's saying something bad about me or a result or like how I'm going to do at an event. And like, I probably wouldn't recommend it, but it's always like it's definitely pushed me, and it's like I see it and I'm like thinking about it, and it's like I think it stops you from getting complacent too, because it's like you could get first place but you're still thinking like, bro, they didn't think I was gonna win, like, or they thought I was gonna lose to this and that, like it's just like it's always been like a threading the needle between like going a little crazy and everything. But yeah, I've always used it where, and like sometimes like you create something in your head that's not even real, like, oh, I'm gonna go to this tournament, they probably think I'm gonna do terrible, blah blah, like I'm gonna show them that not only am I gonna do well, like I'm gonna win the whole thing, it's gonna be easy, like I like that kind of thing. I think there's a way to balance it without like harming yourself too much, you know what I mean? Like,
I was gonna ask too, I think maybe last question, but with, you know, a 5 month long break, obviously you've been staying in good competing shape, playing online and practicing tech and taking notes.
It's pretty much the same thing I would have been doing otherwise, you know. So,
but obviously the competition has got only gets better as time goes on.
Yeah,
almost always in a game, unless like it's like a dying scene and like no one's playing or whatever, which is not the case obviously for Ultimate. So how do you feel about coming in kind of hot here, 5 month break, having to play against people who are going every week and all that stuff? Yeah. And obviously you have a lot of veteran experience, I would say, under your belt, but you've never done this before, so I think that's interesting. What are you kind of doing? What do you think about that, or how are you prepping for that, or what do you think about that?
Yeah, I'm trying to view the pros and cons and everything. I haven't put too much, I haven't had many conclusions about it, because it's, I don't even know like my bracket or anything. So I would kind of like to know that first. But honestly, like the online practice has been good, because I've been playing against like a lot of hard matchups, and it really kind of feels like the best practice when you're playing against like those really, really bad matchups. Like, I think it pushes me mentally to like the limit, where it's like, if I can keep my cool and like continue to practice, and like while I'm up against, you know, Steve or Snake or Duck Hunt or like whatever, it's like, it can really like, it's like proving to yourself that you're ready. Like if you can lose to Steve over and over while you're practicing, 'cause you're trying to reach like a long-term goal, like you're probably ready for anything. So like, I'm trying to make sure I'm prepared in advance. And I think that's why my routine exists in the first place. It's like very, it's all about preparation and like preventing things rather than like seeing things as they happen and like adapting. Like, I really like being ready for everything in advance. Obviously in a game like Smash and in a lifestyle like this, you kind of have to like play things by ear, but you know.
Yeah, it's like damage control play style, trying to seek the consistency, right? Especially if you're going to all these different tournaments and stuff like yeah. that. I think it's just like trying to find some form of consistency is, I think, something that all players are trying to do when they're competing in anything, right? And I think with Smash, there are a lot of scrambles and a lot of guesses. So I think for you, if you can mitigate that, and even like your character choice makes sense in that, right? When yeah. you've talked about it before where you're like, oh, I just wanted a way to deal with spot dodge, you know, after your experience with pre-quarantine Smash, and Banana was the thing to do that. Obviously other things came out after quarantine that were a little bit more crazier than spot dodge, but you know.
Yeah, I kind of talked about my process a while back, but yeah, I think one of the hardest things is, to me, like not much has changed, and maybe that's a good thing. Because like I said, like it wasn't like I, you know, because I guess life is just weird and you never know how things are going to go. Like I didn't like necessarily like want to quit, and like I was kind of just taking things day by day and just was trying to do what was best for me, and like things kind of just happened, and I didn't necessarily expect to come back so quick either, but I'm definitely now that I am, like I'm gonna make the most of it, and you know, I'm fully motivated like usual. So but at the end of the day, like it is just what I am, and it who I am and what I do. So, you know, competing is like all I know, and I really enjoy it. So
it's another day at the office.
Yeah, it's just
My
way of viewing it. Yeah, it's just
clock in. Always flies out really good players too. Like, they've been doing it for a while.
Yeah, Port Priority is amazing. I always really enjoy it, and it just feels really professional. So,
and they run it in 2 days. It's a Saturday Sunday tournament, which is amazing because I got that 9 to 5, so I don't have to fly out on Thursday. I can just fly out Friday and only take I'll only be 1 day behind of work when I get back from port or whatever.
That's so crazy. I think that's gonna be good to see you. A few people have been hitting me up that are excited to see me, so appreciate that. I appreciate the support as well. I know a lot of people are excited that I'm going to Port Priority, so I'm gonna do my best, of course, and
bro, shout out to Beastly. He's the one who broke it to me that they made the video. He's the first I saw. I was like, what the hell? Oh, is this supposed to be here? That's cool though.
Yeah, you were messaging me like the
I was like, is this supposed to be live? Right, what the fuck? Yeah, I was like, check your internet, bro. Jeez.
Imagine I did not know.
I don't know. I didn't.
I'm going to Port Priority.
Wait, I'm competing that weekend. It's like it's like your version of like didn't study, didn't do the homework. You know what I mean? Like that nightmare.
See, man. Then you react to it, and then you make that a YouTube video. See, there you go. Yeah. Man. Come on, man.
Damn, that's how we should have approached this. We should be like, wait, what? What are you talking about? Port Priority tweet. What the fuck?
Chris just starts playing the trailer. It's like the first time Gavin's seen it.
They just replied to their own tweet with this in-depth announcement. JK.
You're like, you're watching the trailer. This is kind of a nice trailer, actually. I'm feeling motivated again. Good trailer. A great trailer.
That was their gamble.
Well, obviously, I'm really
convinced to play after he sees this.
I'm happy for you, man. I'm glad you're competing again. Obviously, miss watching you compete. Spargo's out of the game. Light. I think everyone's feeling some sort of way. So it seems like good timing in a weird way to have you back. I mean, it would have been great to have you back whenever, but seems like a good time for it. And I hope you do well. And I hope your journey continues to go well for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm pumped to watch again, which is good. I mean, I still watch every weekend when there's tournaments on, but it's different when I know competitors who are there. And, you know, obviously Mars hasn't been competing as much, or Void or Light and all those guys. Like, they're taking a bit of a break too. I think everyone kind of is. So you're coming back at, I'd say, a good entertaining time, at least for most people. So
man, new hero, please.
Hey, order those whiteboards, by the way. The YouTube comments love that idea.
I ordered them today. Sorry,
Marcus. Oh, he left.
What did you say, Charles?
So we need some new heroes, man. All the other heroes are checking out. They're like, nah, I'm good. The traditional Smash characters. We need more traditional Smash characters.
It's gonna be tough. You think they'll just put you at the stream setup and just let you run some matches? Like, all right, man, just play through your pool. Sit here, like, damn, people will be wanting these VODs. Yeah,
don't shout get up. Just keep going.
Yeah, shout out support for real though. They're a tournament that have earned their flowers 100%. Like, a really good, well run tournament that gaffs truly, which I really am a fan of. So I'm glad that's the tournament that you're coming back to too.
I think it works out well.
We
do bonus content every week. A lot of it lately has been me deep diving into Smash stuff. The most recent, I think this is really good timing, actually. The most recent video I did for bonus content was I was deep diving into two things I've been doing with Diddy Kong lately, like kind of new developments to my strategy. So if you're interested in that, I just yapped for 20 minutes talking about how I do it, why I'm doing it, what I hope to achieve. And I also teach the game, of course, never really stopped. Thank you to everyone supporting the Patreon and the MetaFi, metafi.gg/@tweak. I have a bunch of lessons lined up for next week, so thank you. And that's pretty much it. We'll see you guys next time.
Damn, he is getting good at the outro. I give it up.
Okay.